I think we can get started, though I think we may be waiting for a couple folks. Just quick ask Sebastian and Nicodem, do you have everyone from your side?
Yes, I do.
Great. Ashraf, is there anyone else joining from your team or just Elias today?
Elias as well as Adunia. I think Adunia, I'm kind of checking with him and see whether he is able to join. He just told me over Skype that he's kind of joining right now.
Okay. And Craig, is everyone from your team on?
So I've got one more person, Anthony, who's going to join.
All right, great. Well, while they're joining, Sam is not in today, so I'll be standing in, kicking off this showcase. Also, we have Josh out on vacation, and Wes is also out today from our side. Okay, I will share my screen and get things started. All right, so welcome to Showcase July 18th, everyone. I'm going to quickly go over each sprint report, check sonar, and then talk about translations, and then we'll hand it off to each team to begin the showcase. So let's start with Team Parrot. Team Parrot focused on continuous integration improvements, early performance testing, and the 3.3.1 patch release. I believe they completed 18 story points, and there are quite a few issues that were picked up that were not completed, and one bug was fixed, which was the requested bug, or the bug that came from Malawi, I believe. To Mind the Gap. Mind the Gaps worked to finish notification redesign and opting out, which is related to the gap project, and then potentially start on report-only requisitions. Completed 18 story points. And these are the ones still in progress or not yet completed. There were 3 bugs completed in this sprint. Team JSI, one ticket was moved to dead, so I'm not sure, I don't think any tickets were completed this sprint, and I believe the follow-on items here are all related to the R&R columns epic for the GAP project. And then lastly, Team Ona. Worked on auto-loading information from NiFi, Kafka, Postgres, and Superset, and integrating it into the OpenAllMyAS continuous integration and delivery processes. Got 14 story points and 1 bug. Take a look at sonar to make sure we have all of our jobs are passing. I did notice, maybe I should refresh, that we actually have one failing here. So hopefully someone is looking into that. So some things that I think we all need to pay attention to and reflect on for this last sprint. But otherwise, things are looking pretty good. Lastly, with TransFX, I took some notes. We have 10 strings in reference data. So again, every sprint we take a look at where we are with each project. And I've found 11 strings so far that need to get translated into projects. I haven't gotten through all of them just yet. Is there any comments that anyone would like to share before we get started, or each team lead could kick it off when they begin and reference? Sorry guys, I'm just trying to make sure I'm going through the right order of operations. So next, should navigate to Sona, review jobs, call to, okay. So Ona will be going first, and if you'd like to reflect on anything for the team or add any context to the overview, feel free to do so, Craig.
All right, thank you. And I'll go ahead and start sharing my screen. I think you guys are going to love the amount of tabs that you're going to see today in my browser.
That's amazing.
So at the high level, we focused on creating connections using NiFi with Superset and Postgres and testing a process for having NiFi connect to a NiFi registry and auto-load. They're called buckets or flows from the NiFi registry into the local kind of developer version of NiFi. And so that was kind of like the big accomplishment. And what this allows us to do is have the NiFi registry up there with all the flows version controlled. And when a developer needs to start their Docker Compose up, they need to start their dev environment, then we have created a prototype of going out to the NiFi registry and downloading a predefined set of flows. And then the next step obviously would be to turn them on. And so we can now, the version control process that we envisioned is possible and prototyped, which is a big kind of win for this sprint. The other items around setting up a Postgres database locally in the Docker container. Excuse me. So that one was also done. So now when the reporting Postgres database is running in the Docker container, then we can have NiFi set that up and connect with a schema. So load in the schema, forgive me. I'm trying to give the kind of the business value all together. So the other couple of items is that we added reporting platform logs to Scalyr. We've created two documents. One is the process, or three documents. One is the process for packaging and releasing the reporting stack. I wrote a document about the current state of reporting and the next steps. And then Peter also wrote about automating the process for testing in the reporting stack. So I have Antonate on the line in Nairobi, who's going to talk about her work with the Postgres database. And then after that, I'll go over the items that I've been working on and also present on Peter's behalf. He's currently on a plane. So I'll go ahead and hand it over to Antonate in the Nairobi office to talk about the Postgres work.
Is she on? I guess I'm not seeing her on the participant list.
It should be under Clay. Yeah,
Clay.
So she and Clay
okay.
are in. And so Clay, if you're, you might be on mute, or you are on mute if you're speaking.
I can unmute Clay manually.
Can you hear me?
There you go. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I can't share my screen because I'm not on the call. The work is local on Loka.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe I walk you through what I was able to do. So what I worked on was connecting NiFi with Postgres. And basically NiFi was creating the table, making the connection to Postgres, and this table eventually, the database and the tables are eventually going to be used by Superset to populate the dashboard. So I set up the connection. It would be nice if you could see my screen.
You can join the conference. One second. Craig, maybe if you want to give your updates on what you and Peter worked on while Antoinette joined so she can show folks.
Sure, sure. So let me go back and share my screen. So Peter, we've just got a couple. I'll run through the documents first. So he wrote a document on processing the package and releasing open LMIS reporting stack for version 3.4. This is just, it's defines how we set the version and what our release process is. That's on the wiki available. Packaging and releasing the OpenLMS reporting stack. And so I'm being brief because of time. I wrote a document defining, you know, where we currently are with the reporting stack and some next steps. So this document has kind of driven the work that we've done over the last 2 weeks and defines next steps and a timeline for what we're going to do over the next 2 weeks to be able to, you know, release at the end of the month. The third document that was written by Peter, reviewed by me, is around how to automate the tests for the reporting stack. So this one is focused on, you know, what items are testable? How do we go about testing each component once they start? What are some core functionality that we need to test? And then what is the process for automating each of those tests? Okay, so those are the documents. And Antoinette, are you set up?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and stop sharing and then shift it over to you.
Okay. So,
just let me zoom. So share screen button in the bottom.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, I set up the DBPC connection, which is basically putting the database connection URL with the IP address, the port number, and the database name. Then you have the database driver class name, and the database driver locations was put in the Postgres database driver was put in the NiFi library location. Yeah, so we don't really have to define it in the database driver locations. Then you have the database user and the password. Then I defined a test schema, which just creates a table with the columns and the column types, which is all we need to define. And yeah, basically that's it.
Great, thank you.
Craig?
Yep, so I'll go ahead and start sharing my screen again. All right, so one of the other ones that Jason worked on was adding scalar logs to each of the component services. And so now all of the logs that are running in each of the Docker containers are aggregated and pushed up to Scalar with a valid Scalar API key. And all that information is set in the, I guess the Scalar service is here, and we have the API key where you can set it in a configuration variable here. All right, the last big thing that I wanted to, I'm gonna try to show live. What we're looking at right now is the is NiFi, and I'm logged into the Ona instance because it's connected to the NiFi registry. One of the tasks for the next sprint is to stand up the NiFi registry as an OpenLMIS service. And so what I have here is I've created a processor group that allows us to set up or connect to the NiFi registry that's configured in NiFi, and then identify all of the available flows, buckets and flows that I can access. And then within those buckets and flows, it will stand up those flows that I define in this configuration. So I'll give you a snapshot of what the NiFi registry looks like. Get rid of that. So these are all flows in all buckets. We've set up a bucket here that just gives us a list of test flows that we've been working on. One is a test processor group. One is just a test flow to fetch stock card line items from the OpenLMIS version 3 API. So what we're going to do is we're going to pull in this one, and we're going to pull in this one, and we're going to add them to the existing version of NiFi. The idea is that this process would be run once. I don't have time to step through all the processor groups, but I've got two major actions that I'm tracking here. I'm going to trigger the flow. All right, it goes through. It is querying the NiFi registry. It's identifying the buckets. It's pulling down all the available buckets, all the available flows. In this processor, we have set a configuration variable where each of these attributes, I can add a row to this area in the table to identify which flows I want to pull in. So it looks at all the available flows and it says, okay, does this flow name match test processor group? If it does, it proceeds. If it doesn't, it stops there. And it does the same for the stock card line items. And so the name that we have in here is a one-to-one match between here, get stock card line items and test processor group. So now that it's done running, I can see down here at the bottom, my kind of where it ends, it's done. I'm going up a level, and now what you can see is you can see these two things that weren't here before. And so each of these were pulled from the NiFi registry, and they are the most current version. Any changes to them will automatically be tracked. So if I go in and make a change here and then go back, then it'll tell me that my local version has changes that haven't been pushed up to the registry. So that's it for what we've accomplished this sprint. I think it's important to also note what we didn't accomplish, but what we made major progress on. Anthony has been working a lot on trying to get Superset to connect to that Postgres database that she created. We're having some trouble with sessions and cookies right now, where when you post the form, it says, sorry, your login credentials aren't valid. I expect that I'll be able to wrap that up today, and then hopefully close that ticket before the end of the sprint today. There are two things that we could use help with that will help us move forward in the next sprint. The first one is identifying a Postgres schema and exporting that schema from OpenLMIS version 2 and comparing that against OpenLMIS version 3. So I spent a good amount of time trying to get OpenLMIS version 2 stood up in a dev environment locally and just didn't have success. All I need really is a database export with some demo data, and I want to compare that against the ERD from OpenLMIS version 3. So if I could get some kind of calling out to people who have that experience, it would be great to get support there moving forward. That'll also unlock an area around the ELMIS dashboard that we are hoping to create for stock management. So that's it for the owner updates. I'll go ahead and open it up to questions.
Hi, this is Ashraf. I have a question for the flow that you can describe for the stock card. So my understanding is that that is, you know, kind of getting the data from the OpenLMIS database for the stock card. And you know, if my assumption is not correct, also feel free to correct me. And the question is that, you know, how is the flow is configured? Is it kind of syncing everything every time, or is it incremental sync?
Yeah, so the NiFi flow that we have set up for getting stock card information or stock card line items is one that we worked on in March. And what it does is it pulls from the OpenLMIS API. It does kind of a one-time pull of everything that is in OpenLMIS as of a point of time. So if you want to run it the first time from the beginning of time until today, it'll go and query the APIs and loop through all those pages for each stock card. After that, it's incremental, so that it stores information knowing exactly when the last time it had a successful pull, and then it queries the date range from now until the last time that it was successful.
So for the incremental changes, you know, when you say that it queries since the last pull, is there any specific table column name, for example, update timestamp that is paying attention to?
So I might want to ask Antoinette about that. She's the one that wrote the flow.
Okay. Could you repeat the question?
The question is that, you know, when you have the routine to incrementally update the stock card, is there any specific column on the stock card related like trouble that you are paying attention to, which would have known about the timestamp of the record changes?
I haven't gotten you.
So when we're querying the OpenLMIS API, my understanding is that we're querying for stock card line items, we're querying based off of a particular date and time, and pulling all line items moving forward from that date and time. So I think Ashraf's question is there in the API endpoint, is there a like last updated parameter that you're using?
No, not at the moment. What we're doing was doing a batch pooling where we're getting all the data for all facilities from whenever to the last date. But going forward, we should be getting the last update from the last updated stock cards. That's not in the flow yet.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. That's fine.
Okay, is that in the plans to be in there, or do we have that in the backlog to do at some point? Sounds like a good idea to have on.
So I wonder, I remember having the conversation in March or April. I wonder if Clay or Anthony, do you remember where it went? If we needed to add another API endpoint, or if we were able to filter by date created or something like that.
You cut out a bit there at the end, Craig. Sorry.
Sure. I was just wondering if you guys remember the status of whether or not the endpoint was available, or if that had to be created.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Maybe we can just follow up after the call. I just think it's a point and something we want to make sure not to forget about. I do want to be cognizant of time, and I think it was really useful to see what was completed. I do think at some point in the future, we should have probably just a separate call in general about the new reporting stack. I'm sure many people have lots of questions and would like to hear a little more in-depth overview of what's there at some point.
Sure. Yep. I'll take both those points.
Great. So now for Team JASI, I know that no tickets were completed this sprint, so maybe sharing some reflections on this sprint, and I think you have one that's in progress at the moment. You
can. So this is Asha. Like before I jump to the GSI, I want to also let me kind of respond to another question that Craig had. So Craig, you kind of mentioned that you might need some assistance for the OpenLMI's version 2 schema. And you know, you also kind of reached out to us about that as well, you know, in the form of some questions. So I just want you to be aware that the OpenLMIS, you know, original version 2 and the ELMIS implementations, so the schema differences between the OpenLMIS version 2 and the ELMIS, they are not just one-to-one, because in our, you know, upgrade work, we had to make some additional changes to the schema. So, and if you are, you know, kind of paying attention to the indicators for ELMIS related kind of report, some at that, like in those tasks, you might also have to pay attention to what was the ELMIS data structure. So in those tasks, if you needed any assistance, you know, please ask us and we will see how we can assist you.
Maybe this is a good point of clarification. Craig, you're wanting actually the ELMIS data schema, correct? Since we are looking at reports for Zambia and Tanzania, you're not looking for OpenLMIS version 2 is actually a different.
Yes, that's correct. So I need to understand the schema and queries of ELMIS.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So I think the request would be to, in the best case scenario, get help standing up a demo environment so that we could, with demo data, so that we could test against that.
Okay, thank you. So now I can begin an update for the JSI one. So as you have seen that, you know, we haven't been able to really complete the stories that we started with, is because the R&R or the requisition workflow is a bit complex one. And since we are kind of addressing the gap between the OpenLMIS and the ELMIS, and the ELMIS has, you know, different country implementation, and in the calculations for stockout days for the adjusted consumption calculation and the additional quantity that is required for the new patient. So there are, you know, various country-specific, configuration and practices, and few of those things were also translated in, like Swahili, and which, you know, we also needed to touch base with our country folks to really translate and make sure that we understand those things accurately. So that's why, you know, our effort to organize those additional meetings with the country folks took, you know, some time. But the good news is that in the end, we have been able to talk with, you know, all of the teams and come to a consensus about exactly what is the gap that we're talking about, and if there's any compromises that they're willing to make when we move to the OpenLMIS. Those points has also been discussed. So once those agreement has been reached, then we pick up the work. And then when Elias kind of started to do the work, Then, you know, I believe that he's going to talk about, and he would say that, you know, at least as far as programming is concerned, he was just able to complete the programming, but the program also goes through the kind of review process by the code reviewers. And then once the review comes in, he needed to, you know, do additional work to address those concerns, if there are any, and then we need to complete the QA. So from those kind of definitions of the done, we are not really done, but at least for programming wise, we have been able to, you know, address the challenges for getting everybody to come to an agreement, like about the calculations, and then complete the coding. But the rest of the code review, feedback, and the QA process that is outstanding, that's why you see that it's not yet done. So with that explanation, I will pass it on to Elias, and Elias is going to begin his first showcase about the work that he has done, and he's going to use his own computer, because as he said, or as he can explain, that it's not yet fully done, so therefore that, you know, he is still, I mean, this code is not available from the test site. That's why he's going to use his own computer for the demo. Over to you, Elias.
Okay, thank you. I am sharing my screen. Can you see my screen?
Yes, I can see it.
Yes, okay. So in this sprint, one of the stories that I worked on is the additional quantities needed for new patient. This is one column that does not exist in OpenLMIS V3. This column is needed because for ARV program in Tanzania, they want to calculate the number of new stock needed based on their own formula. Especially, this is a little bit complicated for us to implement. The formula that they were talking about is a bit more complex. For example, they want to consider the number of new patients and what regimen they're in to calculate how much commodity is required for new patients. And for this, the most flexible way to accommodate it was to add a new column that they would be using to adjust the projected consumption. So we were, like Ashraf was mentioning earlier, we were able to meet with them and have an agreement on whether we are implementing the right feature or not, and the priority of this feature. And once we had that confirmation, I was able to implement that in the OpenLMIS. And so if you go to the OpenLMIS, this is the test environment. And if you go to the RNR template configuration, you would start seeing a new column called additional quantity required. And this is a column that requires the adjusted consumption field to be available. So if I wanted to enable it, I will be able to enable it. And note that if I enable the additional quantity required field, and we don't have the adjusted consumption column displayed, it would give us a validation error that says this column should be displayed with the adjusted consumption. This message is using or reusing previously used message translated message. So it's using the same pattern as other field validations. Once you enable it, and save this RNR template, the corresponding change on the RNR itself is also implemented. So here, if I go to requisitions and I clicked on create requisition, notice that I configured essential medicines earlier. So I'm going to initiate a new RNR for essential medicines. So let's do this as quantity used is 100. So if I input 10 here, the adjusted consumption would be adjusted by 10. And this formula is also going to consider the stockout days. If I made this 0 and change this to 1, notice that the adjusted consumption is using the previous formula where it's using the stockout days. But if I added additional quantity required, it's going to increment that with the quantity required. So this will be 102 plus whatever is in the additional quantity required column. So this is implemented and also on code review, both the server side and the client side code is up for code review. Once that's complete, we will be able to move it to QA and done. This is what I have. If you have any questions, you're welcome.
That's great. Thank you. And you mentioned it, let us know when it moves into QA and if you need any support getting that through.
Yes. Like we discussed last time, if we can finish this before tomorrow or before the next sprint and we can put it in the release, I think that would be great.
Yeah, it will. Even if it goes to the next sprint, it would still be able to make the release, yes.
Yes, okay, thank you.
If there's no other question for Elias, then we can move to Adunia. Adunia has worked on some bugs and also related to some feedback that he has received from earlier fixes that he has done, as well as the pack size and the like basic unit of like measure conversion, and he's going to give us a demo about that. Adunia, over to you.
Okay, Ashraf. Okay, can you see my screen?
Hello? You may have to speak up a bit. I think audio is.
Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes, we can
see your screen.
Yeah. Okay, so I worked on the previous failing cases from the QA that has already passed to me, and I've figured out some of them, and also that's related with the bugs and for the feature which have 5 story points, that's related with toggling requisition grids to pack size and dosage units, and. Previously, the work was completed by toggling the values that are not readable, read-only values. But the last time, for the editable fields for approved quantity, it has to be also toggled. And also for the conversion to pack, from pack to the dosage units, I have to respect for the rounding threshold configuration and also round to zero configuration for the orderables. That's also completed. So that's why I haven't lately make it for the review. But it's already passed and tested. This feature is only working on requisitions. That's on the approval stage. It's only for the approver. So once the grant cases and everything passes, I will move it to review, and the code will be reviewed, and I will follow up quickly if there is anything that's missing on the implementation. So once it's finished, an approver can have the ability to see pack size and dosage units by switching them on the fly and fill the approved quantity for approval. So that's what I was working. Hopefully, this thing will be finished very early on the coming sprint. Okay, that's my update.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Adunia, you kind of mentioned to me that you might need some assistance from the Solvable team for the feedback that you have received on one of the items. I believe that, you know, this is not the right setting to talk about it, but, you know, feel free to touch base with them.
About the reports, the filling report filter?
Right, yes. The API, you know, the REST API issue where... Yeah,
last night I have commented on the ticket. Last night I haven't opened it yet. I think today Matthias have already pushed his commits to solving the problem that the regression introduced on the processing period REST API. So I'm not sure if the change is already on UAT to demonstrate it, but it was like a couple of hours ago. So I hope that once it's pulled, you know, I can see it on the UAT. It's already, he told me he's already fixed it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
So that's it from the GSI side. You know, from the GSI side for this sprint, only Elias and Abdunia work, and then Mohammed is on an STDA in Botswana, so he was not able to work on this project for this sprint. Thank you.
All right, I believe Team Parrot, there's no questions.
Actually, I had a question for Elias.
Okay.
On your ticket, this new column, Elias, is that excluded from the report only requisition?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it wouldn't show up for report only requisitions.
It wouldn't show up, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so I guess it's time for the Team Parrot to continue the showcase. And before I start, maybe I'll just have two announcements. So first of all, since it's vacation season, some of us were off on the holidays, and thus the velocity was a little lower. Better announcement on our side is that today we have added a new junior developer to Team Parrot. We have Paulina, who is here with me. And Paulina, maybe you can just briefly introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. So just like Sebastian said, I'm Paulina, and I'm here on my internship. And today I joined this project. So I hope that we will have good cooperation, and it's nice to meet you.
Welcome.
Okay, so that was Paulina, and that's the end of my announcements. So I will just jump to the showcase on my part. And today I want to talk about the two tickets connected with improving the CI Epic. So this bug here, that is about concurrent requests and requisition properties that could be overwritten. We have already showcased the two sub-tickets on the last showcases. One was this one assigned to me about optimistic locking. Another was about idempotent requests. So those two sub-tickets were showcased during this sprint. We have tested that those two solutions that we have introduced have fixed this problem that we originally had, and that was reported from Malawi. And this was verified using the reproduction steps, using the performance test server, and the ticket was closed. So there wasn't anything new implemented as a part of this. This was only tested and closed during the sprint. And the ticket that I want to talk about is, first of all, provisioning more worker mode AMIs, and this is mainly to speed up the process of continuous integration so that we have faster response whether some commits, some changes to the code base have broken any builds. And so you could have noticed on our Jenkins instance that we now have those three additional tape nodes, where we originally had only one. Each of these additional nodes has two workers. So at this point, we can have seven concurrent builds at the same time. We have also done some additional changes to that, and they are pretty much listed in this ticket. So we are now using a newer Ubuntu version. Previously, we have used Ubuntu 14, now we are using Ubuntu 16. We have also updated the EC2 instance that we are using from M3 Large to M5 Large, which is better performance to cost ratio for us. Yes, I mentioned we have two more worker nodes, so no more one node, but three of them. We are turning them off if there is no activity on them after 5 minutes. There are all of those tags assigned to them that we need to have with a specific name. And we have also replaced the word slave that was here. So we are no longer using word slave anyway. We are saying EC2 build mode. So this was implemented, this was done over a week ago. We have been using this for quite some time, and it doesn't seem like there are any issues with the additional build nodes. But if you still encounter something weird, or if you see that some of the nodes are not starting or acting weird or something breaks, then you know, feel free to let us know. But as I said, we have been using this for the last week, and it seemed to work as expected, and the nodes were starting and shutting down as needed. So that's one ticket about improving CI support, and I also had this small ticket about Jenkins view with that would present the current status of all the master branches. And so since the introduction of the pipelines and the Jenkins files in our services, Jenkins main view was no longer showing the status for the master branches build. Since we are using pipelines and there is no single branch, but the master branch and the release branches. So this was no longer showing the current status of the master branch on the main view, as you can see. Instead, it's showing this book icon. So we have added a single view that you can see here, and that is on the tab named master branch status. So if you click on it, it discovers all the builds that are named pipeline, and it displays the status of the master branch of this specific pipeline. So on the single screen, you can currently see which of the master branches are currently failing. And so those were the two tickets that I wanted to talk about. Do you have any questions? If not, I will pass it to Mateusz, I guess.
Can I go next?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so this sprint I only closed one ticket, which was about restoring the ERD and static documentation for previous releases. In order to achieve that, I created release branches for each of the past releases and added a simple Jenkins file there that generates the documentation. And this is how it looks in documentation. We have all the releases here. The only difference is that instead of having the tag names, we now have the branch names, which are like release branches.
This is great. Thank you.
Okay, so do you have any questions?
I'm good. This is excited to see the versioning though. Thanks.
Okay.
Yes, okay, I probably go next.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, can you see my screen? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So in this sprint, I was mostly working on doing the patch release. This ticket took the most time, and I've just managed to close it today. So we have it here with the 3.3.1 patch release. So we were just testing how the patch release process works actually. Can I click it? Okay. So we have, firstly, we just did the release of all necessary components. So we released the requisition service. And we have the 6.1.0 release branch, and release the reference UI with all the changes that were needed. So the reference UI version is for the patch release is 5.0.7, and those two are included in the rev distro release branch. So if I go to the OpenMIS web distro GitHub repository, now we have the branches, now we have the branch 3.3.1, which actually has the new versions of the reference UI and the requisition service. So those were released. Also in this ticket, we have done the regression testing for 3.3.1, and we have 30 test cases completed. Then we did the performance testing for the this patch release, which is on the standard performance metrics page, as all the other performance testing in the releases before. So so here are the results, and yeah, basically the this release process went smoothly, with exception of one problem with the versioning of the the versions of the libraries used on the UI. So we have the follow-up ticket in the tech depth next for the freezing the UI libraries versions after the release. So hopefully it will be fixed, but we managed to deal with this problem during this release process. So yeah.
And I have a quick question on that. Mm-hmm. Were you guys, you completed the release, able to put release notes together, or is it, can we do that retroactively so that there's?
Yeah, so we didn't put the release notes yet because we found the ticket, about, I believe, Sam created one for the, for making the release notes for 3.3.1. So I don't know if we are going to do this on the Team Parrot site, or Sam will be actually doing this. I'm not sure for now. But yeah, we didn't put the release notes yet. But this is rather
after the fact. I thought that when you did the release, they had to be already in the.
Not really, because the release branch for the rev distro.
Okay.
Does not build any Docker image, so we can put the release nodes at any time we want. So
that's great. So we can do that. Okay. I'll I'll follow up with Sam, and we do want to just put the disclaimer on around what type of testing was done, and we don't anticipate someone picking up, and this was, the goal was to test our process.
Okay, so I will just go to the next one. On the top we have the handle idempotency key ticket, which was actually done in the previous sprint, but closed in this one, and this was used in the 3.3.1 release. So I won't be showing that. Next we have the searching by period by IDs. So this one I actually showed in the previous showcase. We just managed to close it and fix some bugs that actually appeared after introducing those changes. This is it. And the last one in this column is fixing the endless loading. So this bug was discovered during the regression testing of the patch release. So there was a problem with the loading model not closing after rejecting or deleting the requisition. And it was fixed on both the release and the regular master branch. And tested on both in both environments. This is it. And still in the review column, I have two tickets that are actually done, but we are kind of blocked a little bit with them. So the first one is introducing the performance data for the fulfillment service, and this is done. Actually, we have. We have new demo data loading solution for the fulfillment service. So this was copied from the stock management service. So now we have the CSV files in the repository with basic demo data, and then in the demo data repository we have the large files with performance data for the fulfillment service. And we didn't manage to close it because the testing was we couldn't test it on the perf test server because it was it has the Malawi data set, and so we won't be deploying our performance data until the next release is done, actually. We will close it in the beginning of the next sprint after testing it locally with the local reference ref distro, and then just making the follow-up ticket if something will be wrong on the performance test server after the next release.
Sorry, I just had a quick question. You said you won't be pushing this until after the next release?
So the changes that actually are uploading the demo data to the test server are there, and they were tested. But the ticket also included adding the performance data for the fulfillment service, and this cannot be tested on the perf test. Because it holds the Malawi data set, and we won't be, changing the, redeploying those data.
So it will be after 3.4, you're saying, versus next sprint, correct?
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, yeah, and the next ticket was about using the classes built in the build process and using them in the sonar build process. So the most work was actually done by Josh, and I was just finishing the tickets, and actually the changes are introduced and they are on the reference data server. service, and the build process works fine. We are just waiting for the approval of Josh if everything is fine with those changes. I think that is everything from me. Do you have any questions?
So with that last comment, you said you're waiting for the approval of Josh?
Yeah.
Is there anyone else, or is it required that Josh does it?
I believe that I finished it like yesterday, and I've created the review for I believe Changson and Sebastian and other guys. So the review is actually approved, but I'm not sure if it should wait for Josh, because you know this ticket was mostly worked on by him, and so we didn't close it until you know before this showcase. So it actually can wait for the next one.
I just was, because he's out for the rest of the week. So Changson, do you think this is something we should wait for him for?
It's unclear. I'm not that familiar with this ticket. I'd have to look at it.
Okay. Well, we can follow up afterwards, but it'd be if you're part of the review, it'd be useful to know if you think we should still, if you could let the team know to still wait or not.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So this is everything from me. So I'll just pass the ball to Claudia. Oh, sorry, Claudia was on the leave this week. So I believe this is everything from the Team Parrot side. So yeah, so next will be the Mind the Gap. So, guys, who wants to start?
Probably me. But you have to stop sharing.
Okay, down.
Okay, can you see my screen? Okay. So the first ticket I've done together with Nicodem. After we've done the email verification feature, which was in the first place in the auth service, I had to connect reference data and auth user resource so that all endpoints go through auth service. After that, we made some redesign in the notification service. And in the end, we have three user resources in the three different services. And we had a dependency between auth reference data and notification services. This epic was created to remove those dependencies, and so all resources are independent. The changes was made basically in the backend and UI code. From the user perspective, changes was not made, so the UI should look like was looking before changes. And the status is that two tickets are already closed. The last one is in the QA, and I hope we'll close it, I don't know, maybe in the end of this weekend. The next ticket was about generating a database schema for notification service, because we add some domain objects to the notification, like user contact details, and I noticed that we don't generate a schema for database in our Jenkins file. And now the schema should be generated, and it's available on the OpenMRS documentation. Also, it's possible to download an offline version, and the live version is available on the Jenkins. The next ticket was about fixing the migration in the auth service. In one migration, I removed the field from the user table. And when Chongqing tried to use this migration on for Malawi database. There were some issues because there is a relation between two tables. So basically I fixed the migration, and from what I know, everything's work fine now. And the next ticket was about that user could not create an approved product. From what I saw in the code, instead of getting entities from the database, like order label, program, or facility type, we use data from the DTO, and we try to save them into database. And probably that the error was shown. From now, the endpoint should retrieve entities from the database by ID field, and everything should work fine. The next ticket was about that if we use the we try to retrieve all users by ID field, and we add any additional fields like field name, last name, or username, and then those parameters will be skipped by the endpoint. And this was changed, so now the ID are moved. They are used together with other fields, and the results contains only data that pass our parameters. And and basically that's everything for what has been done in this sprint. I have one ticket in the review and still running the progress, but there's a small issue related with creating a user contact details. I exactly know where the problem is, and I hope tomorrow the ticket will be in the inner review and even in the QA column. Basically, that's everything from me. Do you have any questions about those tickets?
Not at this time. It's quite a lot of tickets.
Okay. So that's everything from me. Nicodem has nothing to show from what I know.
Yeah, I was mainly focusing on helping Łukasz with the UR part of the tickets. So I didn't complete any tickets on my own. So yeah.
Okay, Chomson, do you have anything to show?
Yeah, just a couple of things.
Okay. Before I stop sharing, can go.
Let me know if you can see my screen.
I can see it.
Okay, so I just have a couple of tickets to show. So the first one is 4923, which is part of the notification service redesign. So as part of this, we had an acceptance criteria of just storing all notification requests that come in, just so we kind of have a log of them, whether or not they were determined to actually be sent by email or not. Just to kind of store them. So that was this ticket where we kind of create a new table for them and just kind of give some basic API access. So so here's kind of the new table, this notifications table, which has been created. And then also just there can be messages, multiple messages per notification. So that's what notification messages, that's what that table is for. You can sort of see some, so we have always had kind of a way to create notifications or post them to this notifications resource to actually send them. So the new one is sort of, there is sort of just basic API access to get all notifications. And there is some demo data here that was created as part of this ticket to just kind of get notifications that's stored in the service. So that's basically that ticket. Any questions? not, I'll go to the next one, which was just adding new quote performance data to auth. Performance, so performance is in quotes. So this is actually just, this is sort of moving auth to the new demo data approach that that we've been starting to do, so that now auth is using it. And so moving all the JSON files to CSVs. And then we're also adding sort of new data. And this quote performance data is sort of the data that was created for the demo a few months ago on UAT2. So all those new users that were created, basically that was incorporated into the demo data, the demo slash performance data that was done for this ticket. So, so yeah, I won't really demo too much, just to point out that now auth is using the new demo loading strategy. And so any questions on that? If not, then and then the only other thing was setting up perf test. There's still a couple of tickets that are still being worked on related to requisition report only periods that are sort of still in progress. So yeah, one of them's in QA and one of them is in progress. So I won't really showcase them in this sprint, but that's what I've been working on for this sprint. Any general questions?
No, looks good.
Okay, if not, then that's pretty much all I have to share.
Is that all for Team Mind the Gap?
Yeah, that's it.
And also a friendly reminder that Team Ona and JSI are welcome to come up with fun sounding names if you're interested, as Team Parrot and Mind the Gap. You're welcome to also join in the fun naming of teams. If there's any other comments, I have a couple announcements to make, and then I think we can wrap up the call. Does anyone have any comments or questions after the showcase? Okay, so this sprint is the last sprint before we create the release candidate and begin the release process for 3.4. I think this will be our first release with all of these teams. So I do think it's important that the team leads coordinate and fully understand what responsibilities are for each team in the release process and the regression testing. Sam is out today, but I've asked her to kind of set up a meeting, hopefully piggybacking off another meeting this week, to make sure everyone is aligned on how we do releases, who's doing releases, and the testing involved from the regression testing, and then also giving the overview of how our release candidate process works. We do have a lot of this documentation on the release candidate process on our Read the Docs site, so please do check that out. Also let folks, let us know if you have questions or are really feeling like you have no idea what your team's responsibilities are in the release process. I think another thing that will be important to note in planning is that if you are beginning any work that is not going into this release, to utilize the feature toggle. I'm not sure if the tech committee has gone over that. I'm assuming they have, and folks maybe understand how to use feature flags. If not, again, let's make sure to, as a community, get together and talk about that. I think most people be working on bug fixes or finishing up the epics they have that are supposed to be completed for 3.4. But please check in with me or Sam Wes is still getting up to speed, but he's another resource too. But ideally, Sam or I, if you have any concerns or confusion about how this last sprint works and what's in or not in 3.4. We recently just created some bugs around performance. So in doing the performance testing in this last sprint, we identified some slowdowns and need to make sure to get those completed before the release so that we're meeting our performance targets. Also, we'll definitely need to have all of our sonar looking nice and green and everything passing. So it's a team event to make sure that everything's ready for the release, and we'll be relying on all teams to do their part. And you can also check out the release, the regression testing plan on the wiki, and I'll put the link up for everyone to check out as well. All right. Does anyone have any questions? I think we'll be talking quite a bit about the release throughout the sprint, but does anyone have any questions right now? Otherwise, I think we can close out this meeting and begin the next sprint.
Yeah, just a comment from my side. This is Ashraf. So, you know, as you said that this would be the first time that from the JSI team side that we'd be participating on the release candidate at the release process. And then Sam and I had a meeting about this, and she informed me that from the JSI side would be responsible for the requisition workflow. And there is already, you know, I think 55 plus tests that need to be conducted for the regressions. And few of those things, you know, as you can imagine, that we were not involved in the original programming of it. So that's why in the upcoming sprint, my particular focus would be to make sure that we are on top of the release process and then get ourselves acclimatized and familiarized with the regression test process and any of the lingering bugs that we might have, bug or the feedback issues we might have for the like ticket that we have worked on, so that when this release is kind of ready to go at the end of the month, so that at least from our side, there's no, that, you know, things are not blocking.
Absolutely. Great. And we do have some additional support for testing. Maget from Digital Square is around, and Sam will allocate her across, so we can help each other out and let anyone know if you have any concerns or need additional support, so teams can help other teams. Any other comments? One thing that I'd like to hear back from folks on is if we should be talking about anything in Showcase around, you know, each sprint we do a retrospective and then we identify things to improve and change for the next sprint. If there are anything that should get bubbled up to the whole team and across teams, we might look into or discuss if we want to start showcasing some of the changes we're desiring to make as a team in response to what comes out of the retrospectives. It's just one thought to think about, and if you could let Sam know if you think that would be useful to kind of improve our showcasing. And with that, I think I'll close unless anyone has any last comments. Thank you all, and it should be an exciting sprint.
Thank you. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.